The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Psalms 22 and in verse 2. And I want to speak this morning, as I mentioned a moment ago, on becoming confident through prayer. But what I want to do this morning is I want to help us to kind of clean off a shelf. You know, sometimes there's too much stuff on the shelf. You got to clean off the shelf in order to put something on the shelf. You just can't find room for it. And so what I want to do this morning is to kind of give you some ideas of how to clean your shelf off so that you get in a place where God can not only hear your prayer, but answer your prayer. You know, if you have a jar and it's full of something, then you can't put anything else in it. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you from the Bible how to empty your jar, okay? Before you can get something from God, perhaps you need to remove something out of the way so that you're in the place to be able to get things from God. So what I'm going to do this morning is basically we're going to talk about why is it that we don't get prayers answered? Why is it that we don't get prayers answered? And I'm going to give you a two-part series. This morning is why is it that we don't get prayers answered? Next Sunday morning is going to be how to get your prayers answered. So this morning, why is it that we don't get our prayers answered? And then next Sunday morning is how to get your prayers answered. So what is some of the rubbish, if I may say? What are some of the clutter? What are some of the things that's in the way so that you and I cannot get our prayers answered? And so with that in mind, as we talk about this morning, becoming confident through prayer, we read that verse again in Psalms 22 and in verse 2. Here David is crying out and he says, "Oh my God," he says, "I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not." The Bible says, in the night season, and am not silent. So here he is at a distressful, perplexed time in his life where he is crying out in the morning time and he's crying out at night. Here's the problem. God is not hearing his prayer. So why is it that God does not hear prayer? Let me give you some reasons why God himself says that he does not hear prayer. Statement number one, because of unjudged iniquity. Because of unjudged iniquity. Now listen to your Bible as I read. Over in Psalm 66 and verse 18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now by the way, it didn't say if I regard iniquities, plural. It said iniquity, that's in the present singular tense, all right? So when God says, if I regard iniquity, it's talking about one sin. It's talking about one, if you would please, fraction. It's talking about one wrong thing. So if I regard that iniquity, that one thing in my heart, in other words, I guard it, I regard it, I'm putting something around it, I'm keeping it to myself, it's wrong, but I don't want to give it up, okay? God said, I will not hear you. Over in Isaiah 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will not hear, it says, your hands are full of blood. All right, so here's that which is being torments, tortures, and killings that's going on. And said, the hands are full of blood. By the way, our nation has a problem when it understands the sanctity of life. You know, the sanctity of life, if you would please, that little baby that's in the belly of the mama, if you will, when somebody takes that via through abortion or through some other means, can I tell you that is blood on somebody's hands? Now, the Bible says right here, he says, when there is regards to the bloods on the hand, then he said, I will not hear. Over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, the Bible says, the Lord is far from the wicked. Over in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 2, the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated, it says, you from your God, and your sins, he says, have hid his face from you, he will not hear. All right? And so there comes a time when you and I have to understand that there's unjudged iniquity. When there's unjudged sin, here's what God says. God says, I'm not going to hear the prayer. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Harold Seitler. Harold Seitler ran about 1,500 in Sunday school, never ran a bus. He told his people, he said, I expect you to buy big cars, big vehicles to pick people up. And so he'd always instruct his people to buy vans. And so many people would buy the minivans or the full-fledged vans and stuff like that. And people were bringing people to church all the time. And he said, everybody has a bus route. Everybody has a bus route. And so he instructed his people, you know, when you come to church, you bring people with you. And he threatened them many times. He would say, if you don't start bringing people to church, we're going to start bus routes. Okay? And the people would pick up and they'd start bringing. Well, he himself would do the very same thing, and he would pick up people. He always drove that big old Lincoln. He had a big old Lincoln car, and he always drove that car, and he'd fill it full of people as he'd go by and pick people up. One day he was going by the gas station, and he saw the two kids waiting outside to be able to pick up. That was his normal pickup, and he pulled in the gas station, and boy, the boy was just filthy. He's about a 9-year-old little boy. He was just filthy. I'm talking about dirt from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet. He was just absolutely filthy. And Dr. Seitler said, son, you've been playing in the dirt all morning long. And Big Sis spoke up and said, no, he's not been playing in the dirt all morning long. He went to bed that way last night. And can I tell you, that's the way it is with sin in our lives. Here's what happens. We allow this little sin to come in. We don't confess it. We don't forsake it. Then we allow another sin to come in. We don't confess it. We don't forsake it. Another sin come in. We don't confess it. We don't forsake it. Then we go to God in a time of emergency, and we get on our knees, and we pray, and then we wonder why God does not answer prayer. One of the reasons is because of that which is unconfessed, or if you would please, unjudged iniquity. Another reason is because of unbelief. Sometimes God will not answer prayer because of unbelief. The Bible says over in James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that's talking about there's no doubt. You get on your knees and you pray with earnestness, with great faith, and nothing wavering. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, the Bible says, in all things it says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, it says, believing ye shall receive. So God is wanting us to believe when we pray. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So we're supposed to come to God and we're supposed to use our faith. Now, I've taught on this before. It's been a long time, so let me give it to you. There's five levels of faith, or five degrees of faith, that's found in your Bible. As far as I know, only five. Okay? We understand that there was a time when God mentioned that the disciples, those that were the apostles, they had no faith. Now, by the way, the apostles were the ones that saw Jesus Christ. The apostles were the ones that saw miracle after miracle. The apostles were the ones that heard him to speak the word of God. But yet the Bible says that there was a time in the apostles' lives where they had no faith. Now, these were the men that you would think would have all faith. But here they were, seeing miracle after miracle, walking beside Jesus Christ, hearing the word of God spoken, but yet there was a time in their life when they had no faith. Listen to it. The Bible says over in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 40, the Bible says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Here they are facing a raging sea. Here they are with a storm that's coming up. Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. They go running back to Jesus, and they're fearful for their lives. Jesus, waking up out of a slumber, looks over and says, why is it that you have no faith? So there could be a time in your life that you have no faith in your life. And by the way, listen, that's not saying necessarily that you're a bad person. There's going to come some times in your life when all of a sudden you get shattered by something. Something catches you broadside. Something shocks you. And it might cause you to doubt God. Now, listen to me. Don't live there. Stay with me now. Don't live there. Don't say, well, I tell you what, that thing shocked me so much, I'm going to lose my faith in God. No, wait a minute. The apostles had a time in their life where they lost their faith. They came back. Jesus looked at them and said, now, wait a minute, you have no faith. He looked at them and said that very thing. So, and they were apostles. And so if the apostles went through a time where they doubted God so much that they had no faith, you may face a time or two in your life like that too. But can I tell you, dear beloved friend, don't live there. Don't camp out there. Listen to it. There's another time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So here's the apostles again. The apostles are walking beside him, and they're beginning to go out and to do things and serving him. But yet, he says, now, wait a minute, don't be afraid that I will not take care of you. He said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow will be cast in the oven, can he not also take care of you? Can he not also clothe you? Can he not also feed you? Is he not the God of the universe? Does not the Bible teach us in the book of Revelation that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Is not he the one that spoke that which is the creation into existence? Can I tell you? Listen, he is the God that can help you, and it doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how complex it is. It doesn't matter what degree it finds itself in your life. He is still a God that can help you in every area. But there may come a time in your life, like in the apostles' life, when you have no faith, or maybe little faith. Oh, listen to this. There was a time in their lives when all of a sudden, you'll see it here in the book of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, where they prayed for an increase of faith. This was a time when they were wanting to know, how often do I forgive a brother? And then he comes back and he says that you're not supposed to forgive them seven times, but seven times 70, which is equating to 490 times, okay? And he said, now listen, he said, and well, that's a hard thing. And so what did they do? They came to the Lord and they said, increase our faith. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the Bible says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So here they were, they had no faith. They had it, which was a little faith, and now they have a little bit more faith. Hey, they're moving from pillar to pillar, level to level. By the way, you're normal. You are normal if you don't live on the peak all the time. You're going to go through valleys. You say, oh, preacher, I ought not have to go through the valleys. You're human. You don't have a perfect body yet. You don't have a perfect mind yet. You don't live in heaven yet. You're surrounded by sinners living in a sinful world. Not all the time is everything going to be perfect. Listen to it. Bible talks about a time, if you will, when the disciples had a great faith. The centurion had a great faith. I think it's neat how it never mentioned about the apostles having the great faith, but it talks about a centurion, never saw a miracle, never heard the word of God spoken personally to him as the disciples or as the apostles did, but yet there was a time when he had a great faith. The Bible says, listen to it, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says, and when Jesus had heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, he says, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now here's a centurion, wasn't like the apostles, wasn't a preacher, but he had a great faith. Wait a minute, here's a deacon. He had full faith. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great miracles. It says great wonders and miracles among the people. So understand this. Your faith, one day you're trusting God for everything. One day you're excited about the things of God. Can't wait to come to church. Can't wait to hear preaching. Can't wait to serve Jesus Christ. The next day, it's like, man, I tell you what, I don't know if I could even ask God for a little insignificant thing. Your faith may go like this from day to day, maybe from hour to hour, maybe from minute to minute. But listen, when it gets way down here, don't live there. Don't set up camp. Don't decide that that's the place you want to be. You ought to decide that, hey, I want to serve God, give God my very best. I want to step out and just trust God, believe God, and ask God to do something miraculous in my life. I don't want to live down there where I have no faith or little faith. I want to be increasing that all the time. The Bible says, however, that people do not get answered prayer because of unjudged iniquity. The Bible says that they don't get answered prayer because of unbelief. How is it that a person increases their faith? Here's what it says. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let me show you the value of church. When you come to church, you hear the Bible. Now, it just kind of stands to reason. Stay with my thought here. So the more you come to church, the more you hear the Bible. The more you hear the Bible, faith comes by hearing. You say, what's the benefit of church, preacher? Build your faith. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more that you hear the Bible, the stronger your faith gets. Now, all of a sudden, when something hits you, something knocks you out of your saddle, something hits you broadside, wait a minute. All of a sudden, you came to a Wednesday night Bible study. You came to a Sunday night service. Preacher gets up, preaches the Bible, and all of a sudden, you leave here not as you came. You came defeated. You came, if you would please, discouraged. You came down, but all of a sudden, a preacher gets up, and he says, thus saith the word of God, and the word of God builds your faith. Hey, that's a pretty good reason to come to church. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we don't get our prayers answered because of unjust iniquity, because of unbelief. You ready? Because of the love of pleasure. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We went to Colorado Springs this past week. Brother Matt Miller, the pastor, Dr. Miller, and I performed the wedding for Jared and for Debbie, and they got married. It was a wonderful thing. One of the things that's in Colorado Springs is mountains. Can I tell you, I took great pleasure in looking at the mountains. I mean, I took so many pictures that my camera got tired of me coming its way. I mean, I took great pleasure in it. I take great pleasure. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I love church. I love being around God's people. You know, I took great pleasure this past week, and those that drove up to Colorado Springs, it was part of the wedding party to help to decorate and stuff like that. I took great pleasure in just being in their presence. There's just something great about having people that name the name of Christ that you can fellowship with that are friends. Amen. That's neat. I take great pleasure. We had a marvelous crowd in my Sunday school class this morning. We have, I think, 15 adult Sunday school classes. And in my Sunday school class this morning, we had an enormous crowd. And can I tell you, I take great pleasure in teaching the Bible. I love teaching the Bible. I mean, I love sitting and talking with somebody about the scriptures and trying to help them to see a direction in which God himself says this is the way you ought to go, walk you therein. I love that. Now, can I tell you, watch this. I'm saying this, that a person, however, can get tripped up over other pleasurable things that's not as meaningful and not as helpful. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. It says that ye consume it says, upon your lust. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says here, the Bible says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We had a guy that took Jared and Debbie off, you know, just in the car, and he was going to take Jared to his truck, and him and Debbie was going to head off on the honeymoon, and he had a Corvette. And I watched him. I think he did 3 runs. You know, he got it, started just maybe by the edge of the park over here to the back part of our building over here behind the gym, and he gunned that thing. Debbie sitting in Jared's lap, he gunned that thing. Got it up to about 65, 70 miles an hour, and then put on the brakes, and then went around and did it 3 times. Well, after they had gone, you know, he had come back, and I was getting something out of the truck, and he said, hey, preacher, you want to ride? I said, are you offering? He said, I'm offering. I said, I'm taking. We got in that thing, and I said, I appreciate what you did, you know, boom, 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 boom. I said, but you got any real roads around here? I said, can you take it out? And he said, oh, yeah, I can take it out. I said, let's take it out. And so we got in that thing, and we went out and went around the Colorado Springs area just a little bit, just about a 10-minute ride. But, I mean, you know, he's, woo, you know, and I mean, you're flying back like this. And he said, you want to drive it? I said, no, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. But I got to know him. He's a pilot. Oftentimes he'll fly through the Dallas area as he works for one of the airlines here. And he said, man, he said, how far are you from the DFW? I said, well, it really depends on the time of day, but we can get to it in 30 minutes or it might take us an hour. Really depends on the time of day. He said, well, I'll try and get in there where it only takes 30 minutes and come to church services sometime. I said, that's great. I said, I'll give you a ride in my car. He wasn't impressed. But there's the love of pleasure. Hey, there's nothing wrong with loving some things that's pleasurable, but don't let that control you. Don't let your pleasure control you so much that you lose your faith in God, you lose your walk with God, you lose your desire to be obedient. Hey, love to be around God's people. You say, but preacher, they're all different. Yeah, I know. That's what makes it unique and lovable more. Thank God everybody's not like you. It'd be a boring world. So the Bible talks here that there's that, you know, the reason that people don't get their prayers answered because of an unjust iniquity, unbelief, love of pleasure, ready? Because of pride. You ever get around somebody? Well, I can handle it. I got it. Hey, man, I'm good. Hey, it's okay. It's all right. I mean, I can do it. You know, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't leave out Christ. My Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. Don't be somebody that's always trying to do it in your own strength. And by the way, even if you have the ability, good lesson for your children, teach your children that sometimes, yes, most of the time, you need to rely on God too. Help your children to develop their faith. Over in Psalm 138 and verse 6, the Bible says this. The Bible says, but the pride he knoweth afar off. Over in James chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says that he resisteth the pride or the proud. So here we see that God says, hey, look, and by the way, you ever get around somebody? It is never their fault. It's never their fault. They never take ownership for when something goes wrong. They never, you know, or they'll make an excuse. Well, you know, they'll say, well, I planned it that way. Well, listen, do you realize that Christ can help you to become a better planner? The Lord can help you to be able to do the right thing. My brother, my older brother Dave, that's in heaven now, Mama had strict instructions. You don't wrestle in the house and you don't play ball in the house. And so strict instructions, don't wrestle in the house. You're going to wrestle, go outside. Never play ball in the house. Dave and I, we did a little bit of football, and so one night he was coming in, he had a nice football. I said, man, throw that thing here. He didn't think, I didn't think. He threw it. I said, hey, let me see how it feels. We had a pretty good-sized living room, not massive, but and so he cut in front of the fireplace. I threw it, and of course, I wanted to throw it hard just to see if he could get it. He missed. He hit the statue that's been in our family for generations, knocked it off of the mantle. It came tumbling down, did a face right there broke. I'm talking about things broke off, hand broke off, all sorts of stuff. I looked at Dave and I said, man, you should have caught that. Dave looked at me and said, man, you should have threw it right. But I knew this, that when Mama, when she got home, it didn't matter who threw it or who missed it, we're all in trouble of judgment. You know, and when Mama's home and Mama wants to judge, nobody can judge like Mama. And so I said, hey, look, let's get glue. And he said, that's a great idea. Now you got to understand, there's pieces all over the floor. We don't even know where the pieces go. you know, and the nose was broken off, and the hand was broken off, and there's all sorts of other things that, you know, were broken off. And so we get down there, and we sit on the floor, and we're starting to glue it and stuff like that. And then we put it up on the mantelpiece, and we're just praying, Mom, don't come home anytime soon, because it's not drying like it should, you know? And then all of a sudden, Mama comes home, and there is this, and we're just hoping that she wouldn't notice. But she noticed. And she said, now I want to know, why did it get broken? And I looked at Dave, and Dave looked at me, and about the same time, we both said, it's his fault. You know, sometimes when you're under pressure, you don't like to take blame. But don't look at me so pious. You do it too. Then we said, well, we were playing, and she said, you wait till your daddy gets home. And boy, when daddy got home, we got in trouble. Now, I'm saying pride. Sometimes pride can destroy you. Come on. Did some boxing in high school, and I remember this one guy walking into the ring, and, you know, he just had this walk about him. You know, he just had this, you know, just like, you know, I mean, walking along like, you know, I'm Mr., you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could tell that he was just all caught up in himself. But you see people that way today. I mean, you see people walking along, and you can tell there's an air about them. I mean, there's just a certain air about them. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that's wrong, but sometimes it gives a wrong impression. I'm saying pride. Be careful. Somebody gets up this thing, they do a good job. All of a sudden, somebody comes up and says, man, you did a good job. Don't say, yeah, I know. How about saying praise the Lord? How about saying I'm thankful God gave me a voice? Come on. I'm saying this morning. Why is it that God doesn't answer prayer? Unjudged iniquity, unbelief, love of pleasure, pride. How about this? And I need to shut it down. Let me just give you the last one. How about an unforgiving spirit? Unforgiving spirit. You know, you understand this morning that the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, and when you stand praying, it says, forgive if, now watch what it says, and when you stand praying, forgive, it says, if any have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Listen to it. The Bible says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right? So why is it that God does not answer prayer? Because we don't forgive people. Come on. Well, you know, he hurt my feelings. Well, she hurt my feelings. Well, they bothered me. Well, they sat in my pew. They sat in my chair. They sang my song. You know, I was out shopping the other day. A lady says, and I picked out this dress. I knew it was going to be the most special dress that could be worn on a Sunday. And wow, I was just so excited. And I showed up to church, and there was 9 other ladies in the same dress. Man, I had this tie, had this suit. You know, I had this thought. I had this idea. I bought this car. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have to be careful. Don't have that unforgiving spirit. Forgive people. By the way, if you forgive them before they ever did anything, it's a whole lot easier to forgive them when they do it. Always think in your head, they didn't really mean that. Our Lord hanging on the cross, what did he say? As he looked out to those before him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why don't you take that same spirit? I know they said it, but they probably didn't mean it. I know they did it, but they probably didn't mean it. I know that they thought it, but they probably didn't mean it. Forgive them. By the way, that'll make a happy marriage. It will. Last one, here it is, I'm done. Neglect of God's word. Neglect of God's word. Here it is, last verse I'll read. The Bible says here, over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs, it says, together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right? So what do? I dwell in the word of God. That way I can understand others better. You know, there's not a situation, I believe, that's given in life that you cannot find evidence of how to respond to that situation in your Bible. It's not one. You know, if you get in your Bible and read your Bible, you would be amazed at how many problems are solved because now you have the wisdom of God, the creator of the universe, of how to solve the problem. It's when we try to take things on ourselves that we wind up messing things up. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, think twice, he said, before you say one word. It'll keep you out of trouble. So think about it twice before you speak it once. You know, make sure that you're yielded to God, but make sure, listen to me now, that you understand how not to neglect God in his word. Come on, watch this. We're going to a ball game. Hope we can someday together. Going to a ball game. We're going to sit there. Our favorite player is going to get out there. Man, he's going to be good, just like he always is. That's why he's your favorite player. And man, he's up there and he's up the bat. Maybe he's the ball pitcher. Maybe you're going to a football game and he's the guy that's going to be a wide end receiver. He catches the ball, runs for a touchdown. You come apart. I mean, you stand up. You shout. You carry on. But when we come to church, if we're not careful, we treat it like a funeral home. Now, I'm not talking about you got to stand up, shout. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is in your heart, if you're not careful, you'll let things just kind of go. I was preaching a tent meeting one time, and there's this older man sitting in the back of the tent. He had his head bowed every time I'd preach. I mean, he'd have his head bowed. And I thought one night somebody told me he was snoring. But he had his head bowed. So I approached him one night after the tent meeting, and I said, hey. I said, you having trouble staying awake? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm praying for you. I said, you are. He said, but then you'll never know. You know, we can get so comfortable in church. You ever see somebody get real comfortable and they slip down? I was preaching one night. This person fell asleep and then fell over. I thought, man, they must have been really tired. I was preaching up in chapel just this past week, and one of her guys works all night. Understand that? Works all night. I was preaching in a college chapel, and he just had a hard time. Man, he's just going like this. I called his name. I said, go stand up in the back. You'll be okay. So he went back, and he stood up. He had to stand up the whole time, listen to the message. Hey, stayed awake. You know, sometimes we just have to do what we got to do. Come on. Tell you funny, and I'm done. When I was in Bible college, we had this Bible class, and have you ever had a teacher that's just like boring out your nose? I mean, when they speak, it's like, okay, nap time. We had about 200 people. It was in the freshman class or something like that. I don't know. The chapel was filled, and anyway, it was one of these classes that was just, you know, and the subject matter was not boring. It was the teacher delivering it that was boring. And we all knew it. Man, this is going to be a boring creature. So one by one, guys would disappear. I never will forget it. You look around, all of a sudden, so-and-so's gone. It's like, where'd they go? They were falling to the floor and crawling to the back of the chapel. So one day, I was just wondering, I wonder how many guys are missing. So I fell to the floor. I crawled to the back of the chapel. I looked back there and I counted 21 bodies in the back of the chapel. And most of them were like, they're snoring. Said, what'd you do? I crawled back up, sat in my seat, because I did not want to get blistered by the teacher, amen. But can I tell you, watch, listen to me. I'm saying this. I'm saying that that word of God ought to keep our interest. Really, come on, you think about it, man. May I use yours? Think about it. This is the eternal book right here. Eternal book. Here it is, right here. Eternal book. You know, when you get into it, this is a love letter from God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? My wife and I still write each other love notes, stuff like that. I never will forget one time that she went to, where was it, honey? Canada? Alaska. Canada. She went to Canada. And man, Micah, I wanted her to know how much I loved her. But I knew if I sent her a letter, by the time it got there, she'd be home sleeping in her own bed. So I got one of these spiral-bound notebooks. And all week long, several times a day, I'd do an entry. I love you more than life itself. You're so special to me that I can taste the sweetness. I mean, man, it was getting good. I'm writing it. Next day, I turned a couple pages, fill them up. When she got back, I handed her the spiral-bound notebook. We've been married 32 years. She still has it. Yeah. Open it up. Pages are now all yellow, coming loose. But there's that handwriting. That's what this is. This is a love letter from God that has all the answers to man's questions. And if we would just decide we're going to love it, we're going to come to church where we can. You say, oh, but Brother Wells, I don't always get something out of the message. Coming to church, hearing preaching is like taking vitamins.
Yes.
You put it in, you put it in, you put it in, you put it in. You're getting stronger and you don't realize it. One day, all of a sudden, a big problem comes your way, and you start remembering all this truth you never even knew that you took in. It's like vitamins. You know, you don't become Superman overnight, Superwoman overnight. You just get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, all of a sudden, a challenge comes your way. You respond this way, and you know, you wouldn't have responded that way a year ago. You know you wouldn't have responded that way 2 years ago. But now, because you got so much truth in you, it just kind of bubbles out. Just kind of bubbles out. I was in a store yesterday, Friday for Jared's wedding, and I thought, man, we might need some shoe shine stuff or whatever, us guys, it's going to be the wedding. So I thought, I'm going to go find some of this quick shoe shine stuff. So I stopped off, and stuff just naturally coming out. I bought the stuff, and she said, oh, man, she said, so what do you need that for? Your shoes look okay. And I said, oh, man, my son's getting married today. It's great. Man, God has sure been good. She said, God's been good. Man, you don't hear that much. I said, let me tell you how good God's been. Gave her a track start. She's already a believer. She said, just moved in the area. She said, I've been looking for a good church that speaks about God. I said, yeah, they're hard to find, aren't they? I said, but I know one. Invite her to that brother's church. Now, can I tell you, listen, it is important that you and I do not forget the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's some things we need to clean off the shelf. Just clean it off the shelf. Get it, and by the way, get rid of it without excuse. If God said it's wrong, okay, I'm going to get rid of that. You ever go through your garage and just clean things out, then all of a sudden you get to see the floor again? You ever go through your closet and say, wow, I could have wore this 10 years ago, but I'll never return. And you just give it away to somebody else? Come on. You ever do that? That's what you have to do in your prayer life. Sometimes you got to remove the junk before you can get the prayers answered.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.